I know there's some anxiety and angst over Tuesday since it's Election Day. But, you know, our God is greater. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens Tuesday, our God is greater. And no matter what happens, we keep serving him and being faithful to him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in saying that, go ahead out and vote. I don't know if you voted already, but use your right to vote. But God is greater. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Do you know that we're here this morning, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table in a minute. Not a minute, but after the message. And we need to be reminded. There's a lot of things for which we need to be reminded. We forget. You don't have to be old to forget. But we forget at the incredible gift of our salvation in Christ.
Amen.
That he went, he loved us enough to die in our place for our sin. And by faith, when we receive that gift, our sin is paid for once and for all. Mm-hmm. So let's start to put that in our minds as we prepare for the Lord's table. Above all, he thought of you. Singing, you may be seated. Parking lot, you hearing us okay? Okay. Just want to make sure. As we look towards the Lord's table near the end of the service, I just thought we'd do part of Psalm 119. If you've ever read through Psalm 119, it's like massive. It's, in fact, it's a good way to learn the Hebrew alphabet if you're ever interested in that. But it's a great psalm. So would you read this with me, please? Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts. They are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. That's a key question, isn't it? Now, none of us can live perfectly. We know that. And that's why we need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But through him and the power of the Holy Spirit under the guidance of the word, we can obey. We're free to obey. And these days, now listen to me, these days, our young people face things we never faced when we were young. I've done a lot of research with young people, especially millennials and Generation Z. Don't ever think that they haven't faced some pressures that we haven't faced. This is unreal. I don't know if you realize it or not, but right now the battle for against drugs, they're doing drugs in the middle school, okay? And there's all sorts of stuff going on. So for our young people, here's the way to stay pure: by faith in Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit, obey. In fact, it's not just for young people. It's for us too. I'm still young, right? You're still young. Okay, I say so. I say so. So, a great psalm. As we pray today, I really do want to pray for our country, our churches, for revival, and for a spirit of peace, for a spirit of calmness. And really, you know, I even feel that in praying that, we actually need to pray that people come to know Christ. Because there is no peace apart from him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, for our nation, this is a big week. This is a week where people will have their voices heard. This is a week, Father, where our government is exercising their changeover. And Father, whether it's keeping the same president or if you decide to place in another president, we have to realize this is all in your hands. We have to realize also, Father, that violence and losing tempers don't accomplish anything. Father, I want to pray for the cities especially. Not too far from us, Father. Philadelphia, New York. Father, that cooler heads would prevail. I pray, Father, for against this spirit that we think that people think they're justified in getting justice by burning and looting stores. Father, that's just evil. So we pray for our country. We pray that our country would understand that not only our political leaders and the Congress, our state leaders, our local leaders need to look to you for wisdom, need to look to you for their refuge, need to look to you for their guidance. And I pray for our churches, Father, no matter what happens on Tuesday, help us to continue to be a church that glorifies your name, that will boldly and unashamedly lift up the name of Jesus Christ and the cross. Oh, Father, help us to be faithful to that. Help us to understand that you are sovereign. Help us to understand that you're still in control. And Father, help us to understand our need for personal revival, our need as a country for spiritual awakening, and our need for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we commit these things into your hands. Amen. Amen. Before we look at the message today, leaders, I need to see you just for a brief second. I got a quick question for you after the service, so please don't run off. What is your favorite vehicle? Your car. Okay. Marilyn and I have a standing joke. You know, we're on the road a lot, and sometimes we'll see a Brinks truck, and she'll say, "That's what I want next." I said, "Good luck." Yeah. The fact of the matter, you know, you see Brinks, you see Wells Fargo. There's guard something out there. The army trucks that guard the money, and when these guards get out, they're heavily armed, right? So we have this mechanism by which we tend to guard things that are valuable. Banks a lot of times hire off-duty policemen to guard, right? They're armed. There are some businesses that do the same thing. There are churches that do the same thing. We will guard what we believe is precious, correct? Alarm companies make their money off of people who want to guard their homes. There's nothing wrong with it, all right? But I want to just tell you this to raise some questions. It's fine to guard your property. It's fine to guard your family. It's fine to guard things that are valuable. But the Bible tells us that above all else, we need to guard our hearts. That sounds pretty serious to me. We need to guard our hearts. Listen, I'm not going to talk much about this today as far as what we guard, but do you realize in the current climate of this country, the most unguarded place in this country is the womb? You realize that? Unfortunately, it's the most unguarded place. And it's the place that should be guarded the most. The womb, where life is conceived and life is developed. But I want to go to Proverbs chapter 4. Next week we'll get back into Acts. But the reason why I'm doing this today is because we looked at four types of hearts last week from the book of Acts. And the question came up at the end, how do we guard our heart? And I want to suggest to you that Proverbs is a good place to start to realize how we guard our heart. If you had a diamond ring that was worth $10,000, would you be careless with that? Right? I mean, you would guard it. You know, some people who, especially women, if they go to the ladies' room, they might take the ring off to wash their hands, you know? I know some stories where they left the rings in there, you know, never to be found again. But generally speaking, we guard those rings. I want to suggest to you that our hearts are even more precious. Our hearts are even more precious. Listen to the Solomon here. Solomon wrote these. Probably the wisest man that ever lived, at least that's what the Bible says. You know, here's why I love the Bible, because even the wisest man that ever lived had his faults. Right? He still had his faults. But he no question learned a lot through life. And what he's doing in these beginning chapters is personifying wisdom. You know what personifying means? It means that he's making wisdom like a person. And wisdom is speaking here, okay? He says, "My son, pay attention to what I say." Now, in the original language, that phrase, pay attention, would say, don't be distracted. You need to pay attention and hear me closely. You can hear and not pay attention, correct? Some of you might be doing that now. I don't know. But you can hear and not pay attention. This is, I want your undivided attention. Turn your ear to my words. And we'll go on. Do not let them out of your sight. This is the word of God. Do not let them out of sight. Keep them where? Within your heart. For they are the life, they are life to those who find them, and health to one's body. There's been a lot of studies done by a university, and I wish they would pay me some of that grant money. Because you know what they find out? People who read the Bible, people who pray, are generally speaking healthier, emotionally and physically. Well, surprise, here it is. Okay. And here you go. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from, what's the word? Perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly upon you. Before you, I'm sorry. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. That means before you decide to travel in a certain direction, you better think about it. You better think, is this going to glorify God? You better think, is this going to be God-honoring? If Jesus was walking next to me, would I still walk this way? We're going to get into this a little bit deeper. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Okay. So I'm going to go back there. Give me a chance. Okay. I'll unpack this for you a little bit. We need to listen and pay attention. I can't tell you this enough. Now listen to me. What comes out of your mouth, good or bad, originates in your heart. Right? It originates in your heart. And, you know, when I hear people starting with foul language, starting with gossip, or, you know how some people just tend to bleed venom? There's no other way to say it. Something's wrong in the heart. I'm not saying you don't have a right to be angry with something, but how we handle that anger matters. And that anger doesn't give us the right to have bad speech. We can say the truth, and we can say it in love, and we can say it firmly, but not with bad speech. This is not a popular message. And I'll tell you why. Because if you ever have the opportunity to go into our high schools, our middle schools, you will hear these words in the classroom. Right? It's crazy. Listen to me. You know, and listen, we weren't any better, but when I was in high school, if we swore in the classroom, we were out. Right? Because words do matter. Words do matter. You know, I know somebody who substituted in high school, and, you know, a couple of the students were not using the good language, and this person went to the teacher and said, what are you going to do about it? Oh, no, that's their vocabulary. Well, that tells me something's going on in their hearts. Because words like that don't come out unless there's something going on in their hearts. Pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. And then he goes on to say, keep these words in front of you. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart. What does that mean? What does it mean to keep God's word in your heart? I can't hear you. Okay, you're right. How do we do that? This is not rocket science, okay? Here's the best way, memorize. Memorize the scripture. But Pastor, I'm too old, baloney. I could play commercials here, you'll know the words. Because it's repetitive. right? Memorize scripture. I'm assuming you don't have your Bible all day with you, for those of you who work or whatever. But start small. Start memorizing God's word. That's how you keep it in your heart. And then when you're facing the trials and the tribulations of life, the Holy Spirit will bring those to remembrance. And you can walk in a way with integrity and honesty. Keep them within your heart. Now listen, you know, for years in Sunday schools and pioneer clubs and Awana and all of those things, they used to make the children memorize verses, right? Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. However, if the adults aren't memorizing, you know what the kids are going to say? Why should I? You know, you don't know it. Memorization is key here, all right? Now, listen, I know as we get older, it's harder. I understand that. However, you can memorize something, and God will use that going forward. Keep them within your heart. We keep a lot of things in our hearts, you know? We talk about guarding things. You know, I know, you know, some people who are heavily invested, and there's nothing wrong with that. Please don't misunderstand me. But some people who heavily invested, I can ask them point blank, where's the stock market at? They'll tell me right offhand. Well, here's where it is. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know why? Because they keep following it closely. They keep following it closely. And that's okay. But when you're faced with a question, what does God say about this? How does God want me to proceed? If we don't have God's word in our heart, then we're not going to be sure of what the right path is. Let's keep going. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's body. That's an incredible statement. I would submit to you, this is the key to living well. This is the key to living well. You know why? Because you know when you're following the word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit and you're doing the right thing, you can put your head on the pillow at night. That's why. Now, it's not that easy all the time, correct? Because when you're doing the right thing, a lot of times you're going to get pushback from people. People that you know, people that you don't know. You'll get pushback by people, especially if it's countercultural, right? Jesus was countercultural. You follow his life in the Gospels. He was countercultural. Jesus did not let the culture define who he was. He let the Father define who he was. The Holy Spirit empowered him, and Jesus was the living word. Isn't that what the Bible says? It was the living word. And so Jesus, in spite of the pressure from his own family sometimes, in spite of the pressure from the culture, did some very culturally unpopular things. But he was totally at peace. Even with the pushback, ended up costing him his life. But he was totally at peace. Can you understand that? This is going to become more important, I think, in the coming days and years. And then in the next verse, you know, is really the key verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So we talked about memorizing scripture as one way to guard your heart. How else can you guard your heart? How else? There are other things. Anybody? What you watch? What you listen to? Say again? Boundaries? Okay. I've taught a course. I even taught it to the high school and college kids on boundaries for living. With the high school and college kids, we did boundaries for dating, right? And nobody likes that word, boundaries. Really, but here, this might change your mind. Even God has boundaries. Did you ever consider that? What's a boundary that God has? He can't stand sin. Sin is a boundary. God can never violate his character. That's a boundary. All right, you follow what I'm saying? And so when we develop boundaries that protect our heart, that's another way of guarding our heart. But they have to be good, godly, biblical boundaries. Because sometimes we can develop the wrong boundaries. I wish I had more time to go into it, but I don't. So we have to guard what we watch. We have to guard what we hear. How else can we guard our hearts? Say again? Yeah. Okay. One of the biggest ways, I can't emphasize this enough, abstain from gossip. Abstain from gossip. Because you may be saying things, maybe you think with the right attitude, but really, it's gossip. If you're not, if the person's not there, keep your mouth closed. Gossip is so damaging in a lot of ways. That's how we can guard our heart. If somebody comes to you with gossip, how are you going to guard your heart? Don't want to hear it. You have an issue, go talk to that person. I don't want to hear it. And yet, our culture lives on gossip, doesn't it? Our political system lives on gossip. The high schools flourish on gossip. The middle schools flourish on gossip. The teachers flourish on gossip. And it's so damaging. We really have to take a step back. One of the things I appreciate about my parents, especially my mother, she would always say to me, if you have nothing good to say about someone, shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth. Don't say it. And there's really a lot of wisdom in that. We need to guard what comes into our eyes, our ears. It's like the old computer adage, garbage in, garbage out. It will always be that way, right? Everything we do comes out of our heart. Warren Wiersbe, in his book, Live Like Kings, says this quote, "The eyes see what the heart loves." Get that? The eyes see what the heart loves. If the heart loves God and is single in its devotion to God, then the eyes will see God whether others see him or not. A lot of wisdom there. The eyes see what the heart loves. What's the practical application for this? It's the rest of the proverb. Keep your mouth from perversity. Right? Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. If we even, with the help of God, followed this, man, we'd eliminate a lot of problems. A lot of problems, right? Keep your mouth from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Keep your eyes focused and straight. That's what it says next. Focused on what? On the wisdom of the Word of God. On the wisdom of the Word of God. When we take our eyes off the Word of God, we're going to stray. We're going to make bad and wrong decisions that have bad consequences, right? Even as believers. Be careful. Give thought to your decisions. Give thought to your decisions. Listen to me. Here's a principle you really need to know. If you face a situation and you react to it, 99% of the time you're going to be wrong. But if you step back and give it careful thought and ask God, how can I respond to this in a way that brings you glory, now you're going to be on the right track. That make sense? Because, you know, we're good at shooting off the cuff, aren't we? You know, we get angry. We want to tell you that, you know, who you are, you know. And every, you know, usually in that state of mind, we're going to say things, first of all, we'll regret. Second of all, aren't usually true. And third of all, we could accomplish a lot more by stepping back and say, Lord, give me the wisdom how to respond to this and maybe win a brother or sister to Christ. You just don't know. But everything we do, Paul says it this way, in everything we do, whether in word or deed, glorify God. In everything we do. I heard somebody once say that for a Christ follower, you know, church is one thing, but business is another. And I said, I think you have some bad theology here, okay? You can't say that church is one thing and business is another. I will say this. If your relationship with Christ isn't impacting your business, then you need to raise some flags and say, do I need to re-examine this? If your relationship with Christ isn't impacting your marriage, then I need to say, you need to re-examine this. If your relationship with Christ isn't impacting how you relate in your community or the workplace or in school, then we have to raise some serious questions here. Give careful thought to your decisions. Be unmoved to walk with God. Listen, you're going to get pressure, but with God's help, you keep going forward. Is God glorified by this decision? That's a good question to ask. Remember, years ago, they had like bracelets and necklaces, WWDJ, what would Jesus do? I mean, this is not complicated. Lord, if I do this, we'll glorify Jesus. And don't rationalize bad behavior, okay? Look to the Word of God. Doing the right thing is not necessarily going to be a popular choice. Don't be distracted by evil. Let's go to that verse. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. If I can just adjust that word a little bit, and one of the things I think that are implicit in the word evil is temptation to do evil, okay? Listen, if evil sometimes wasn't tempting or fun, it wouldn't be a problem, right? Does that make sense? Do not turn to the right or left, but keep your foot from evil. So even though, you know, you're walking with the Lord, guess who wants to distract you? Well, Satan. Guess who wants to discourage you? Well, Satan. And that will easily happen if you let your feet go in the wrong place. Don't do it. Keep going. Again, Warren Wiersbe wrote this, the heart is the master control of life. A wrong heart always produces wrong life. To allow sin into the heart is to pollute the entire life. The unexamined life is not worth living. You know who said that? Socrates. The Lord is pondering our lives, and we must examine them too. In fact, one of the instructions for the Lord's table that Paul gives us is that when you come to the table, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Let the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, examine your heart. And if there be any sin from which we need to repent specifically, then that's the time to do it. That's how we examine our hearts. Live in God's Word, and He will protect your path. Direct your path and perfect your path for the glory of Jesus Christ. If you think this is just an Old Testament concept, let me bring you to a couple of other passages. This is Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. It's hard to have gentleness if your speech is corrupted and perverse, isn't it? The Lord is near. That means He's with you, right? But don't be anxious for about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, catch this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will do what? And your minds, right? In Christ. Wow. One more passage. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How many times do we think about other things that aren't so noble that aren't so pure, that aren't so lovely. That should raise red flags with us when we do that. And we have to refocus. One of the things, I enjoy going to the eye doctor because, you know, there's no Novocaine shots or anything like that. And every once in a while, he'll test my prescriptions. I have three lenses in these eyes, these glasses. And, you know, when he puts you in front of the machine, is this better, you know, or is this better? You know, it could drive you nuts sometimes. But I think it illustrates this truth. Whatever is true, and there is a lot of truth in the Word of God, right? It's all true, is better. Whatever is noble in the Word of God is better. Whatever is right in the Word of God is better. Whatever is pure in the Word of God is better. You get the idea, right? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, Paul says, or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. One more. This is Jesus. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up where? In his heart. And an evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Whoa. You know, one of the commercials I really dislike on television is Capital One. Yeah. What's in your wallet? But the question really permeates this message today. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? So as we come around the Lord's table, this is a time where I'm going to ask that we just take a few minutes and honestly come before the Lord and ask him to examine our hearts and to confess things for which we need to confess. Because if you're a Christ follower, that forgiveness has been won for you already on the cross. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So would you take a minute, and then I'll lead you through the bread and the cup. Let me just read to you the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 139. I think David wrote this. Search me, God, and know my heart. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. Now listen, if you are like I am, we probably had some days even this week where we've had some offensive things in our hearts. We need to confess them and come clean. Jesus, at the Last Supper, used it as a teaching tool to say to his disciples, listen, we forget. We forget. Israel's a great example. God leads them out of captivity from Egypt through Moses. They get on the other side, and day two, they're complaining already. That was the Exodus. The cross is the second Exodus. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died and took my sin in my place on the cross, took your sin in your place on the cross, and paid with his blood, our sins forgiven once and for all. And then the resurrection was God's stamp of approval on his sacrifice. And he still lives. But even as a believer, we offend God and we offend others. And we need to repent. So Jesus took the bread going to try to open mine. I spilled it last month. So. Okay. He broke the bread, gave thanks, passed it around, and used it as an incredible object lesson and a symbol of his broken body that was broken on the cross. I don't know if any of you have ever seen The Passion of Christ, right? It was brutal. There's no question about it. But every once in a while, we need to revisit that to see what Jesus went through for us. And that wasn't the real agony of the cross. The real agony of the cross was when Jesus took on our sin and the Father turned his back on Jesus. That was the agony of the cross. So the disciples said, this broken bread, it represents Jesus' broken body. When you eat this, do this in remembrance of Jesus, which you eat, please. Then in that Passover supper, Jesus took a cup called the cup of redemption, and he used it as an illustration. It was the illustration of his blood, the blood that would be shed for the forgiveness of sins, the blood that would be able to cleanse those who come by faith alone in Christ and what he did. And he made a new covenant. And part of that covenant is simply this. Jesus promises those who come to faith in him that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that blood of Christ seals that covenant. He says, when you drink this, do this often. Excuse me. In remembrance of me, would you drink, please? You know, I can't emphasize this enough. And listen to me. You know, if you're watching from Facebook or you're in the parking lot, for those of us here, we need to watch ourselves and guard our hearts, especially when tensions are running high. Because violence and bad speech accomplishes nothing. Amen? Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for their salvation. Pray for those who hate you. Pray for their salvation. That's what we're commanded to do. And then Jesus says in Romans 13, God has ordained the authorities to keep order and peace. Obey them. Obey them. It's time to change our thinking. Amen? Amen. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to ask Kristen to come up, please, and Sharon and Chip. As they come up, I chose this song to close with. Good things about being a pastor is you could choose a song, and unless there's something really wrong with it, I don't get any pushback on it. This is one of the first songs Darlene Check wrote. I remember singing this for the first time, and you know how the years go by fast? This song was written in 1993, so it's almost 30 years old. I didn't age, did you? But this song, by the way, is in the new hymnals. It's interesting about that. Shout to the Lord, would you stand and shout to him? Thank you. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in Christ. Nothing. Paul says it this way. Nothing can ever separate Christ's followers from the love of God. Nothing, not even ourselves. Let's pray. Father, how great you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for the wonderful salvation that you made available to us through faith. Not by works, but through simple faith. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to leave here empowered to bring glory to your name in everything we do and everything we say. Father, help us to guard our hearts. Help us to read your word. Help us to live your word. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Have a great day, guys. Thank you for coming.